Amen. All right, we're teaching on the subject of, I'm just kind of at a, I don't know what to call it other than the gospel. Praise God. We're talking about the season of the supernatural. And all of this is coming from this teaching that we've been talking, living in the supernatural. let me just put something down here. It just came to me when I was praying. The teaching today is, and that I've been doing on the supernatural is absolutely important. And again, one of the reasons why is because I've been going places and I've been preaching and really seeing that really the church is not really embracing the supernatural like I really believe that God intended for us. And as a result of that, a lot of things that God has planned to do have not been done. Because for you to get them done, you're going to have to move on over into that next dimension, supernatural. So I decided to come back and speak some on this. This is the foundation text that I've been using. If you look, starting at verse 5 of Galatians chapter 3, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now that's very important, the hearing of faith. You might want to underline it, highlight it or something. "Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with" who? Faithful Abraham, or believing Abraham. I ask you to just put it in your Bible like that. Now, so what we did is we start talking about miracles, and basically we started to define miracles and basically what miracles are, what the supernatural is, something pertaining to above or beyond or what is explainable by natural laws or phenomenon. It's a direct influence or action on a God. This is one of the definitions in the dictionary now, of a God on earthly affairs. Supernatural is a supernatural force or the supernatural plane of existence. Webster 1812 dictionary defines it as being beyond or exceeding the power or laws of nature, the miraculous, a supernatural event. So we're basically talking about walking in the supernatural, that you're seeing the supernatural happen now all the time. And that God has us in this earth to demonstrate in this earth a new level of living. And the idea about it, we call it the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is another realm of peace, another realm of joy, another realm of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, another realm of power, another realm of protection, so forth and so on. That's the kingdom. And the idea about it is everybody's seeking for that kingdom. Everybody over in Hebrews chapter 11, I think I read it on Wednesday night, that Abraham was searching for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And the idea about it is everybody's searching for that city. People are looking for that city. Why? Because that city is that kingdom of God, which the Bible says, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So that kingdom has peace in it, it has joy in it, so forth and so on. And people are searching for it. Everybody's looking for it, no matter what religion they are or whatever have you. People are looking for peace. People are looking for a place where they can have a sense of joy, that things can be taken care of in their lives, they can be protected, they can prosper. And I say people are moving from one country to another coming over in this country. Why? Because they heard that, hey, opportunities are great in the United States of America. They've heard that, hey, you can start with nothing and end up with a whole lot. Well, then the environments that they're living in, they feel they can't do that. So they're willing to move. And I'm saying people in this city, in this country, are willing to move from city to city or city to country or wherever they can get some peace and feel protected, safety, or whatever have you. Well, the kingdom of God supplies all those things. But the problem is, it's an invisible kingdom. And so for you to get drawn to it, you need to see evidence that it exists. Not just somebody told you about it, but that you saw that it really exists. So in the book of Revelation, in I think chapter 21, it says that a city shall come down out of heaven and set up on the earth. That's true. But that's that city after the earth has been renovated. But before that, Jesus came to bring the reintroduce the kingdom of God and to bring it into this earth and demonstrate its reality. So what did he do? He healed the sick. What did he do? He raised the dead. He wasn't talking about praying that you get to heaven. He's talking about praying heaven down to earth. And the idea about it is, as he demonstrated that, people would be drawn into it. So when the kingdom of God was preached, it was always preached with miracles, with signs and wonders, with supernatural. And as Jesus preached it, let's go back there and see a couple of places he preached it, if you will. Let's go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, please. Thank you. Matthew chapter 4. All right, I'm going to breeze right along here. So if you can't turn it to those scriptures quickly in your Bible, just look on the screen there. We have scriptures on the screen. Matthew chapter 4. Look what it says here in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments. And those which were possessed with what? Devils. And those which were what? Lunatic. And those which had what? Palsy. And what did he do? He healed them. All of them. Didn't make any difference what they had. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20 says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In power. So the kingdom of God comes with its own power to straighten out whatever's broken in this earth. Doesn't make any difference. Let's go to another. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, please. Over in Matthew chapter 9, again, if you come up and join me here at verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, underline that, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Notice what he was healing. What? Every sickness, keep going, and every disease among the people. I mean, if they had HIV, didn't make any difference what they had. You see, these things are only a challenge if you're not in the supernatural. These things are only a challenge to people who are working with the intellect of man, trying to override this curse that's in this earth. But when you get up into the supernatural, it becomes very easy. And so Jesus is demonstrating that it doesn't make any difference what you've got. He was healing them. Somebody said, well, do I deserve healing? Well, that's what he's coming to do. Look at the next verse. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion on them. That's what God was moved with. He was moved with compassion, and that's why he sent his son. God so loved the what? World. He loved you while you were cussing him and turning your back on him. He still loved you. And guess what? He's ready to heal you. He's ready to show you that he can draw you into his kingdom with loving kindness. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if you go on over to Matthew's gospel in chapter 15, over in Matthew chapter 15, he says here, and this is reading at verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, wherein the people had heard thereof. When the people had heard thereof, pardon me, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great who? Multitude. Oh, Matthew chapter, where am I? I'm at the wrong place. Pardon me. I'm at the wrong place. Look at verse 29. I knew I was at the wrong place when nobody said anything. You know, you just get that feeling. Some of y'all been there. Okay, look at let's start at verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were what? Lame, come on, blind, come on, dumb, yep, maimed. Uh-oh, wait, underline that one. Maimed. And many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude, what? Wondered when they saw the, what? Dumb to speak, keep going. The maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they, what? Glorified the God of Israel. Wow. The maimed. What is a maimed person? A person that's missing a limb or an organ or something. That person is maimed. What did Jesus do for them? Healed them. So we saw arms growing back. Come on, help me now. We saw people who had lost a leg, legs growing back. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying this is with Jesus' ministry. Now, I'm going to turn you to a scripture that folk have had traditionally problems with. Let's go to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. Come on, we're going to knock the devil in the head right there. John chapter 14. Let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 10. Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of who? Myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Who's doing the work? The Father. Who's he working through? Jesus. So he's working through Jesus doing the work. The Father is. I said the Father is. He's working through Jesus. Now, Jesus represented the Son of God. We know that. Am I right about it? He was fully God and fully what? Man. Now, question. Could he use his God ability to do things in the earth? No, he couldn't. He couldn't because God had decreed that the earth was under the dominion of man. And once he spoke it, he couldn't take it back, or he doesn't take it back until the end of time. So now the earth is still under the permission of a human. So Jesus had to come as a man, because it's through a man could he have authority. Put something right there with your smart self, and let's turn over with me over to John and John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. Glory to God. Did I say John chapter 6?
Yes.
Well, I didn't tell you the truth. Amen. Just a minute. These things are coming to me as we're going, as we're flowing here. Praise God. Let's look at John chapter, glory to God. Come on now. Just a minute. Bear with me. John chapter... Flow. That should be it right there. Gave him authority because he is the Son of Man. Verse 27 of what? Chapter 5, verse 27. Got it. Come on down here.
Amen.
Amen. you win the prize, $100.
Thank you, Pastor.
Did I hear it over here too? No, I didn't think I did. Okay, now. All right, right there, huh? Okay, all right. Well, we bless you for it. Praise the Lord. Look at John chapter 5. Look at verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have what? Life in himself. And has given him what? Authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. He didn't say the Son of God. He said the Son of Man. See, the only way Jesus could exercise authority is because he was the Son of Man. We know he's the Son of God, but folks, he had to sit that aside. He had to act just like you. A man or a person filled with God. That's what he was. I want to show you that because you take these things and say, well, that was Jesus. Praise God. Jesus healed the sick and he raised the dead and so forth. That was Jesus. Well, let's go back to John 14 again. John 14. I know these things are elementary for some of you, but for others, we're kicking over some sacred cows. Look what it says here, verse 11. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do, come on, also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to my Father. Wow. Tell you what. What I did, this is Jesus in writing. I know this is Jesus because it's in the red. This is Jesus. He's saying, the things that I do shall you do too. And watch this. Greater works shall you do. Now, you know, we talked about last time. They say, well, greater works is that Jesus preached to 1,000, but Billy Graham preached to 100,000, or T.L. Osborne preached to 1,000,000. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about greater works. We're talking about maiming and getting the maimed heal. We're going to do something greater than that. Boy, I'm telling y'all, looking at me like a calf with a new gate. Listen. What I've got to do is take the limits off your thinking. Because what happened is somehow we feel that God can do this, but he can't quite do that. What you need to do is stop that. You need to know that God can do it all. Matter of fact, he can do exceeding. Come on, put it up there. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, please. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, keep going, all that we can think. Do you have the Amplified up there, please? Pop that Amplified up there, please, for me, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now unto him, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 9, please. That's a word. I said beyond all you can dream. Now dream big. Dream, dream, dream. Just dream. Just imagine yourself. Woo! Come on now. What you gonna drive? Imagine yourself. How you gonna live? Come on. Imagine yourself. How much profit your business is making. Come on. Businesses all over the world. Come on. Imagine yourself. Come on now. If the doctors have given you an evil report, step back and just imagine yourself for a minute. playing tennis. Glory to God. Come on, I'm talking about in the Masters. No, that's golf, ain't it? But anyway, what can you imagine? Because that's the limits. He's able to do it, but will he do it for you? Are you following what I'm saying? So the enemy's job is to keep us thinking real small. Watch this. And think God can't do that. Jesus said, wait a minute, get your theology right. It's not you that's doing it. He's doing the work. I remember this lady one time, I said, she came to me, she said, hey, she said, my husband, you know, I like my marriage with that girl. I said, what happened? She said, my husband ran off with another woman. I said, do you want him back? She said, yeah, I want him back. I said, how do you want him back? She said, what do you mean? I said, do you want him back with some flowers? How do you want him back? She said, yeah, I want him back with some flowers. I said, all right, you ready? I said, brace up now. You ready for it? He said, yeah. We bound the devil over her husband's mind and so forth, and loose angels and so forth, called him back in, commanded that marriage to come back together, that separation, divorce spirit to go from that marriage, so forth and so on. That guy showed up with flowers, but somewhere he had lost his shoes. He was in his stocking feet. That is the truth. Don't tell me what God, don't tell me what he can't do. Now look at this verse. Come on out to put it up there. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Put it up there. Now look what it says. Jesus said to him, if thou what? Can believe. All things are what? Possible to him that believeth. So what is possible for you is conditional on what you believe. Look at the verse. Put it back up there again. If thou can believe. Didn't it say that? It didn't say he couldn't do it. He said, if you can believe it, all things become possible. Now you need to work that into your consciousness. Because what the enemy tries to talk us out of is believing. He don't want you to believe that high. So how do I get my believing up? We talked about this last time. I go into the Word of God. Turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 4, please. How we doing?
Great.
You'll never be broke another day in your life. Believe it? Believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Come on. Do you believe it?
Speak it.
Now think about it. If I'll never be broke another day in my life, isn't it possible that I'll never be sick another day in my life? Come on. Do you believe it? See, I don't care what the situation is. Well, I got kids in college and I got to pay all those college tuition and so forth. Wait a minute. What do you believe? Now, this is what Moses did. Remember, God said, Moses, I'm going to feed all of them. I'm going to feed all these 3 million people out here in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere, with no refrigerator. I'm going to feed them meat. And I'm going to feed them every day, Monday through Friday, so Sunday, so forth, so on. And I'm going to feed them for a whole month. Moses said, wait a minute, Lord. You mean you're going to take all the fish out of the sea? And so, see what Moses is trying to do? He's trying to take care of God's part.
Right.
And when you get over there and start trying to reason how God's going to do it, you have just crossed out of your part over into God's part. And guaranteed the devil will meet you there. He'll make you try to pull God down on your level when God's trying to make you come up to his. Now I'm getting you ready for something because we're going to pay this building off here. Praise God. I have to admit, I'm baiting you right now. Praise God. All right? Now, everybody's got something. I'm telling you, what's happening with society today is the world is getting past what you can do in the natural. Situations in this earth today are going past mankind's normal ability to take care of them, to fix them. That's what's happening. And in the last days, more and more of that's going to be manifesting. So this is a season for the supernatural. And it's your season. Because the supernatural God is in you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
He said, all you have to do is speak to it.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
All right, what do I have you now?
Romans 4.
Look at verse 17. Put it up there, please. Verse 17, here's what he says. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Keep going. Who against hope, there it is, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, what does it mean, who against hope believed in hope? God came to Abraham at 99 years old and said, you're going to have a child by you and this woman, the woman who never had kids. You're going to have a child. Now, I don't know. They didn't have all the equipment today during that time that they can take an X-ray and maybe see that she was inside of her reproductive organs were somewhat deformed or misplaced, or her ovaries were not there, or the fallopian tube, whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Whatever is there. Ovaries. Okay. You know, and some women, look at that. Just bear with me. Everybody's not as smart as you. Okay, just bear with me. So they didn't have all the things. My point to you is, you know, why don't you get the point? That's what you need to get. My point to you is that suppose she didn't have reproductive organs in there. It makes no difference. God can give you a baby with your tubes tied. You must remember, come on, is this the right group I'm talking to? I am not talking natural talk, folks. I am not talking something that you heard that somebody who is, you know, a professional, so forth, and told you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the one that can get you to go to bed tonight and you can raise up the next morning and listen. And watch this. Charles and Francis Hunter had people, and the one guy was up there in the healing line, and he said, what's your problem? He said, well, my heart is weak and my kidneys is on, you know, just. She said, oh, you need an overhaul. You need a Jesus overhaul. And she started laughing. Why? Because Sarah laughed. I mean, this is a laughing thing. This, you're going to do this with joy. And she then touched him. Boom. And power of God hit him. I mean, they really had a powerful ministry. And what happened then? He got up and so forth and so forth. And then he went away. Came back, I guess, the next night or third night, and he came back and he wanted to give a report. Said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said that I have now a heart of a 16-year-old. Now, wait a minute. He didn't change the outside. The man still looked 65, but he had a heart of a 16-year-old. God can leave you looking outside the way you always looked and give you new organs on the inside. Now, he can change the outside too, because that's a report that we're getting now that the glory is falling in services. Now, what is the glory? Glory is defined as the full essence of God. It's the presence of God.
Yes, yes.
It's where heaven contacts earth.
Yes, yes.
And it can fall in a meeting.
Yes.
And nobody have to lay hands on you.
Uh-huh.
Nobody have to speak a word over you. The glory just fell. And when you step, glory to God, can I say this? You step into heaven. Can't you see that anything that's of the curse that's been on you cannot enter therein?
Yes.
So you step in there and everything falls off of you. I'm saying if you don't step into heavens, heaven's gonna step into you. Now, what I need is a bunch of radical believers, people. Come on now. I need some saints that don't mind being wild and crazy. Sit down. You saw what he said. He said, the things that I did shall you do also, and what?
Greater
works. I'm not talking about just healing. How about money? How about coming in the meeting with $3 and leaving out with $300? Come on now. How about checking your bank account on Monday and $3,000 be deposited? I'm not talking about a bank error. I'm talking about a supernatural miracle from heaven. It's the season of the supernatural. I need some believers. Because if you can believe, all things are possible. Saints, it takes me to preach this. Because I know a lot of preachers won't preach this. Because they think they got to do it. Or they think the brotherhood will laugh at them for preaching it. The brotherhood, they didn't bring me here. Don't make me preach this here now. Where were they when I was walking across the street with the laundry of my family on my back and holes in my shoes, wondering where our next meal was coming from? Where was the brotherhood then? Where was the brotherhood when I was down at Lake in Pulaski cleaning up whiskey bottles, trying to have services in a building with holes in the roof and it was raining? Where was the brotherhood then? Where were the brotherhoods when my wife needed some new clothes? Come on. But I'm telling you, the brotherhood didn't bring me here, and the brotherhood can't tell me what to preach. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to see miracles. Sit down. All right, let me just finish this. I just want to let you know. He said, the things that I did, shall you do so also. Watch this, and greater works. I look at the book of Acts, the church started with a miracle. The Bible says there was a rushing mighty wind. It came down and swept the place where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with new tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they began to speak in different languages that they had never lied in, never cursed in, anything like that. You got what I'm saying? Then because of that, 3,000 were saved. Watch this. Then here comes Peter and John going up to the temple in Jerusalem at the hour of prayer. That's the ninth hour, 3:00 in the afternoon. And as they passed by, that was a man who was lame, who had never walked. And they looked at him. He asking alms. They said, silver and gold have I none for you. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name, come on. I'm talking about the name that is above every name. In, at the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Took him by the right hand and yanked him up, and he leaped, walking, leaping, and praising God. Watch this. And 5,000 got saved. What am I about to tell you? One miracle is worth 1,000 sermons. And what we've been trying to do is we have been trying to sermonize our way without the miracles. Oh, we've been getting ones and twos and threesies. But God planned for you to get a boatload. He planned for you to sweep them right off the streets, right into the kingdom of God, and they'll be leaping and praising God. Say amen to that. Now, this isn't for everybody, because everybody doesn't want this to happen because of one reason or another. But I want to encourage you. Allow me to preach to you the true gospel. With no more limits. Because if I preach it and you believe it, God's going to watch over it to make it happen.
Amen to that. Amen.
There was a man named Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 37. God came to him and asked him, son of man, see all those bones out there? Can they live? Ezekiel took a couple of steps back and said, Lord, you know. He said, then prophesy to him. I said, I'm prophesying to you right now. And Ezekiel spoke words, and all of a sudden meat began to come on bones that were dry. See, are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the bones and meat rose up into a mighty army.
Yes, Lord.
I'm saying you can speak. God can do things that you never thought he could do.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, let's look at the last place here. Now, I'm preaching something that's up here. And that's why you feel the need to jump up. Because I'm putting it beyond your natural thinking. Say amen to that. I'm making it so you got to jump up and grab this.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
All right, last place. Let's go. Oh, by the way he got hope is he got it from God. So when all hope is gone, get in this word and watch God give you hope that is beyond natural hope. Say amen to that. So many a times in churches, and I know I was brought up in this environment, that we deal with the historical Jesus. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Oh, little baby Jesus. And so that's all right. But also, he's the same Jesus that went into the temple and turned over all the chairs and cash registers and everything else. Now, take the word impossible out of your vocabulary because it no longer belongs there. God has given you some things that you can operate with that the world does not have. Here's just a few of them. One, he has given you something called the anointing. The anointing, or some people call it the blessing. The blessing of Abraham has come on you. That blessing will enable you to do anything that you need to do. He's given you gifts of the Spirit. He's given you the gift of discernment, the gift of working of miracles. There was a man one time in And Brother Hagenham told that story about a man that the gift of prophecy came on him, and he prophesied right in the middle of the meeting. But in the middle of the prophecy, he cussed. And he kind of startled everybody. They went on with the meeting. That night, the preacher got with God and said, God, how did this man cuss in the middle of the meetings? He said, was it prophecy from you? God said, well, yeah, basically it was from me. But this young man just finished getting saved, and I'm not quite done with him yet. He's trying to still get it together. But don't be cussing in here now. I'm not lying yet. Okay. The next one was the blood of Jesus. Romans chapter 3 will tell you about that. Folks who know how to deal with the blood can even put a bloodline down, and Satan can't cross it. Can't even get to your children, can't get to anything. But you got to have faith in the blood. How about angels? The Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth minister for you who are heirs of salvation? The world doesn't have angels. You've got angels, folks, and they are big ones. I remember one time I caught a glimpse of one. We were up, and the man had a ministry out south, and we went out there before we started the church here, and my eyes all of a sudden just opened, and I couldn't see anything except for about this part of him. The rest of him was above the ceiling and so forth, and he was standing right behind that man. So I know I got angels up here right now, standing with me right now. Come on now. How about guidance? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will quicken you. He will guide you. Somebody came up after the last service asking, Pastor, what shall I do? I said, well, why don't you read one chapter of John a day for 7 days, and the Holy Ghost is going to talk to you. He's going to tell you exactly what to do. Sometimes we need to just slow down and get back with God and get the God factor into our lives. How about your revelation knowledge? God is affecting your thinking. He'll give you revelation where the world doesn't have it. Daniel, the king wanted to know, Daniel, what does this dream mean? And nobody who was in the king's harem, nobody could tell him what that dream meant. But Daniel said, let me have one night with the Lord. And he came up the next day and told the king exactly what he dreamed. So I'm saying God will give you information that the world cannot even get. How about the word favor? Y'all know favor? Favor is not fair. Favor is the thing that allowed Esther to stand before the king without being invited into the throne room. And Esther, the king said, what do you want, Esther? I'll give it to you up to half my kingdom. So favor will give you additional real estate. Glory to God. It's divine assistance. So what am I saying? The world is hungry for miracles. I believe there's something, even a remnant in people that are unsaved, to know that there's something beyond the natural. I believe that's why people are seeking witchcraft, the occult. They want to see something that reminds them of the supernatural. Well, they don't have to go to those things anymore because you are coming on board now. I said, you are coming on board now. So you and I are key for this hour, because it's the last days. Let's go all the way over to Matthew's gospel in chapter 24, please. Matthew chapter 24. So in Matthew chapter 24, he said this. He said, verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. Let me put it in my own words. Starvation and diseases and natural disasters in diverse places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 14. and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness until every nation, and then shall the end come. What is he saying? The gospel is going to be preached with demonstration to every nation, and then the end's going to come. The end of things is not going to come because of wars. The end of things is not going to come because of somebody's famine or some earthquakes. Nope. They're not going to put it in the end. The end is only going to come when you start demonstrating with power and signs and wonders and miracles the kingdom of God. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have. Glory to God. Did you get something out of that today? Glory to God.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. How many believers I got in here? Do I have some believers in here? Amen. All right. If you're here, God has spoken to your time, to you during this time. And you know in your life you need Christ Jesus.